You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 108. And this is an episode with a guest with a dream to interpret. And the guest is Alison. The dream is lovely. It's a bit of a journey dream, bit of a violent journey dream, very interesting journey dream. And you'll hear Alison as we interpret the dream and her responses to that. And I also lead Alison through a dream alchemy visualization at the end, which you'll enjoy. Lots to learn, lots of interpretation tips to pick up. And I'm sure that you will enjoy that. But just before we go to Alison, a reminder of the usual places, www.dream.net.au. If you want to explore everything else that we've got available, if you want to make a private appointment with me to talk confidentially about your dream, obviously in more depth than we go into in a podcast when we're very aware that everyone's listening in. Or if you'd like to perhaps visit our shop and buy books, ebooks, courses, dream.net.au/shop for that. Or visit my blog at janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. Or come along and connect on Facebook. And now here's Alison with her dream. Welcome to The Dream Show, Alison. How are you today?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm really good. It's the end of the day, but I think my dream interpretation brain is still popping. How's yours going?
Oh, good. A little frazzled, but I think I'll be fine.
Okay. Everyone listening in, it's the end of the day here in Australia. And this is an Australian interpretation we're doing today. Alison, as usual, I have no idea what any caller's dream is, so hit me with your dream.
Okay, well, as I'm sure is common in dreams, there's a few details that are a little bit fuzzy. But the general gist is that there's a few themes that appear in this dream that are common to some of my dreams.
Yeah.
And one is my driveway from my childhood home, which is very long, and the house is about a kilometre away from the road. So I'm at the top of the driveway, and there's kind of people around. I'm always on foot. It's often, I don't know what it's really to do with, but I used to catch the bus there. We used to walk up the driveway, and it's a K long, and it's always kind of something to do with having to run home or something. Anyway, so I got from there to my house, my parents' house, and I think there was an element of mystery about it, or I was being chased or something. I certainly was later in the dream. Because by the time I got to the house, there were certainly people following me. I was in my bedroom from my childhood, and people trying to come in to the room and get me, like it was all very violent. Violence happens in my dreams for some reason.
Okay.
I was, you know, pushing on the door to try and close people out of the door. And I was, I had people coming in my window. There's no screen. I had people coming in the window, and it's a sliding glass window. And I was trying to slam the window on them. and I think I quite badly injured some people. But the whole dream had this kind of a bit ancient, a bit medieval kind of feel about it. And I think I found myself somewhere out of the room, I think with the dog. I'm not sure whether the dog was there at this stage. And then I was kind of walking through this town that was very old, but I was there now, like there were people there now.
Yeah.
And it was kind of deserted, but I was still, there was something about me still being chased, I think, because I was being very careful about trying to kind of make my way out of town to get away from someone, and I still don't know who these people were that I was trying to run away from. And I... you know, I'm hiding around corners and things. And anyway, I made my way out of town, and I had a dog with me on a lead. It wasn't my dog. It was a big dog. And I kind of was on my way out of town along this road, and as I was, it was, when I say road, it was kind of a dirt track along the top, like along the ridge of a hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to kind of work my way out of town, but I kind of got to this point. I think I may have passed some people and they were friendly and it was okay. And I think I was out of danger's way, the people that were chasing me. And then along the road, there was dead dogs, kind of spaced at, you know, every 20 or 30 metres or something, there was a dead dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking out of town because I thought I was safe, but I had a dog with me that was very much alive and well, and I started freaking out as to what was causing these dogs to die. And so I started panicking, and I think I came back towards town, and I think at that point I woke myself up in a sweat.
Wow.
So it was very strange, and really, apart from those couple of themes, under, you know, the driveway thing and stuff, it was really quite unlike anything I'd had before.
Mm, unlike because of all the dead dogs and the medieval town.
Mm. Yeah, those two things I don't think I've dreamt before. I've definitely dreamt being chased and getting violent with my with my attackers or whatever. But yeah, no.
So this is also the first time that you've actually kind of escaped the violent attackers, even though you weren't sure at the end of the dream. That was the first time that you've actually got out the room.
I think quite often I kind of wake up or just find myself in a whole other place.
Mm.
I'm not too sure. I don't really have very, look, it's a bit hazy as to the point at which I escaped.
Mm. Oh, congratulations for escaping. we'll work on a better ending, but that was good.
Yeah.
A few questions first. You know, you said you've had that driveway theme in your dreams for a while. Have you any idea when you first started dreaming about the driveway?
I couldn't pinpoint it, but it's certainly been there for some years now, and it's probably since I've left home, but I don't know whether it's been 5 years or 10 years or what.
But since you've left home. And the violence, have you any feeling in the dream for what kind of violence it is or how they're trying to be violent with you?
I know they were coming in. I don't even know whether it was really directed at me or whether I was perhaps trying to protect the house or what was in there.
Mm.
I don't remember, like sometimes it is directed at me specifically, but I just had this sense of I have to keep these people out, I have to do anything that I can, but I don't remember being really obviously threatened myself.
Yeah. So it was more the thought that if I let them in, I may be in danger rather than actually being in danger. You're in protection mode. Yeah. Few more questions. When you went through the ancient medieval town, isn't it lovely how dreams do that? And you kind of complete change of scene. I love it. So wonderful.
And it was kind of shop fronts at the same time.
Oh, shop fronts.
Strange.
It's a modern shop fronts medieval town. And I have to tell our international listeners that in Australia we have absolutely no medieval buildings or towns whatsoever. Oh, built environment goes back about, 200 years, is it, Alison?
Yeah. Not much more.
Not much more than that. When you went through your medieval ancient town and it had that feeling it was deserted, did you have any feeling as to why it was deserted, why the people had gone?
It felt like, I think, everyone was hiding or something it felt like this, whatever had happened to me, was perhaps happening to everyone and they'd all taken off and everyone was hiding from these people, and that was a bit of a crazy thing that I was doing, trying to make my way through.
Mm.
I don't know specifically, but that's the kind of
feeling you got.
It didn't feel like it was an ancient ruin that nobody. It was definitely inhabited.
Yeah.
There just wasn't anyone there at the time.
Yeah, they're all in hiding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in fact, you were the most courageous person there at that point in the dream because you were actually...
Or crazy.
Yeah, or crazy. You didn't get there and go, oops, I better hide. You actually, yeah, crazy or courageous or whatever, you kept on walking and went through. But you did that because you felt you had the big dog
carefully,
with you.
Carefully, like creeping around the buildings and keeping an eye out. But...
Oh, that's
I just have the dog with me, and I just wonder whether I felt that was some kind of protection.
Yeah, I think he must have done. What kind of breed was it?
It was big. It was kind of. If I had to name a breed, I'd probably say German Shepherd-y.
Have you ever had a German Shepherd yourself?
I haven't. We've had Border Collies.
Mm.
So it was kind of big and shaggy like that, but I just have a bit of a picture of a big, gentle German Shepherd.
Oh, that's excellent. That's wonderful. I'll tell you why later.
Right.
But for the moment, when you think of a German Shepherd, what kind of, or particularly when you think of, first of all, when you think of any old German Shepherd, gentle or otherwise, what kind of personality do you attach to that dog?
Well, I don't know whether it's... I've got a friend who has one, and it's definitely very docile and probably a bit old, but I guess I have an idea of a bit of a gentle giant, perhaps, that kind of looks impressive but is a bit, not as scary as you might think.
Yeah. That's lovely. And the very last question, when you're going along at the end and you pass those people and you think, oh, they're really quite friendly, you know, that there's a bit of a change in the dream there. But then just when you think it's all getting good, you see the dead dogs and they were every 20 to 30 metres. What any idea what kind of breed they were, the dead dogs?
No. I think they were all different ones. But they were big dogs as well, probably medium to big dogs. There weren't any little ones.
Mm. And did you have any feeling in the dream as to why they were dead?
No, that's what freaked me out. And it's the horrible twist in the movie type thing where I just, wait a minute, there's something not right here. And it was the panic mode, and I think that's what woke me up.
Yeah. Okay, now that's great. And right at the end there you have a figure because you said that the dead dogs were like every 20 to 30 metres. So those figures...
They have even been closer than that.
Yeah, even closer maybe. Okay. Because numbers and dreams are usually quite accurate about something. You know, and 20 to 30, you may be thinking, like your 20s, you know, between age 20 and 30.
Right.
Or, but you say closer than that, so it could be kind of younger than that. So we're going to go with those kind of figures at the moment, and can even be like, say, 20 years ago, or so on and so forth. So, how old are you at the moment?
I'm 29.
29. Okay. So 20 to 30 kind of almost fits the something there. Right, at the overall feeling of your dream, when you go back to like a childhood home in a dream, it's usually because you're going back to ways in which you were brought up or issues from childhood that are still affecting your life at the moment. Now, every dream reflects only the last 24 to 48 hours. So each dream is processing the last 1 to 2 days. But whenever you have a dream, if there's an issue in your life in that 1 to 2 days, which resonates with something from childhood, then that's when you can have something from childhood, like usually your childhood home, or in your case, the childhood driveway comes up. So it's like, okay, something that was bothering me, or for good or for bad, in the last couple of days is bringing up when I was associated with this driveway. And, you know, and you said quite clearly at the beginning of the dream, that was like your long walk home after getting back from school or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you also feel that you've probably only had that dream theme of the driveway since you left home. Right. So there's some sort of sense there with, you know, if you look at that beginning of the dream, it's like, how do I get back home? How do I get back to something about my childhood or something that I regard as my home? So every now and then something comes up in waking life and we'll go into it, which connects back with, oh yeah, that's all fine and good, but how do I get home?
Yeah.
Right. Or this connects with home. Now, at the moment, we don't know. We'll work it out. We don't know if it's like, oh, there's something really wonderful at home or something secure and safe about my childhood that I want to get back to, or whether it's, oh, there's something that was a little bit sort of worrying or troubling, as there is with everybody from their childhood. And you're trying your dream to sort of almost go back and connect with that because it's getting in the way of what's happening with you now. So, you know, like we'll come back to that. But if I connect that with the end of the dream where you're actually, you get to that point where, oh, everything's friendly, but oh no, oh, this is the twist in the movie. This shouldn't be happening. This is spooky. Mm-hmm. I've got the dead dogs here. That suggests that there may be, that you may be going back to something at home, no matter how happy or sad or whatever your childhood was. It's going back to that feeling of, before you left home of, oh, something's not quite right here. I don't feel like, you know, there's a twist. There's something happening here that I feel a little bit unsafe about. And we will, you know, come back to it, gently to see what it is, because there's, you know, most of us have something in childhood that, particularly in teenage years, that threw us a bit. And, you know, suddenly we weren't as safe as we thought we were. So as we make our way in the world and are challenged by, you know, our day to day issues in waking life, we can highlight that, because your whole feeling back there is, oh, I've got to protect myself. They're breaking in. I've got to protect myself. I've got to be safe. So that whole feeling is that, you know, at some point in your childhood, whether it was just before you left home or whether it was earlier than that, you did have a feeling of needing to protect yourself, of not always feeling completely safe, whether that was with your family or whether it was life in general at that age. So that whenever in waking life something comes up that you maybe feel very, very slightly unsafe, whether that's physically, emotionally, you know, intellectually, whatever, it's possible that your dreams will then bring up that scene of, God, this is like that same feeling. It's like, oh, you know, I need to shut this out. I want to feel safe.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's got that kind of feeling. And I don't know whether the, because dreams do go on plays of words sometimes. And I don't know if when your town was deserted, I asked you, well, what kind of deserted? Because I was thinking if you were going to say, like, they'd all gone, I was going to say to you, oh, did you have, did something happen in your childhood where you felt deserted or abandoned? Was there a kind of a feeling of, oh, you know, either whether it was as big as a separation or whether it was as little as they forgot to pick you up from school one day, was there a feeling there somewhere of, you know, of being left behind? But then when you said, oh, the town wasn't really deserted, it was more that people were in hiding. I wasn't so sure about that, but I thought there's definitely something there of a feeling of, I, Alison, in my life today, sometimes get to points where I don't feel as safe as I would like to feel safe. And when I feel that, I know my coping mechanism is to go into protection mode. Now, I really love that towards the end that you made the greatest advance in your journey by going with the lovely, big, gentle German Shepherd. And when you said, oh, it was just a gentle German Shepherd, I thought, oh, that's really good. I like that. Because animals in our dreams tend to represent our instincts or our instinctive ways of dealing with situations. So there's that feeling for me that when you do feel, oh, I don't feel entirely safe, I'm going to go into protection mode here, which we all do from time to time, there's a feeling in your dream that something has changed recently, that your protection mode is not as strong as quick jam the windows on their fingers. It's more like, I can do this gently. While being a bit like the German Shepherd, like everyone would think, oh, shit, as you, in your words, that looks impressive. Wow, look at Alison. That looks impressive. But it's actually a very gentle, as you say, a gentle giant kind of energy. And although there were the dead dogs and we'll come to those, it's almost like the breakthrough in your dream was that even though you went carefully, as you said, you went carefully, you had your eyes all about you, you were actually in gentle giant protection mode rather than quick, I've got to run and hide. You were the one in the dream that wasn't hiding. You were actually making progress.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, so there's that feeling that in the day or two before the dream, you actually, something did shift in your approach to your instinctive reaction when you feel unsafe, and you have become more gentle with yourself in allowing yourself to be more open to what you may have perceived otherwise as being dangerous. So you're more willing to go places than you may have been willing to go before, because you're actually beginning to feel safer for some reason. And it's that, and that's why you get the friends at the end. It's like, yeah, everyone in a dream is actually an aspect of yourself. So even those people that are violent and trying to get in, that's like a part of yourself too, funnily enough. But that's a whole different ball game. We can go into that later. There's no part of you that is violent or anything like that. But it's like when you have anything in your life that feels scary, there's a part of yourself that probably goes into overdrive and thinks, oh, that's going to be that's going to hurt. That's going to be violent, rather than just say, I can actually, you know, give me a bit of rough stuff. I can take that. Your tendency is to go, no, look, be careful with me. I'll be careful with you. Let's just be, no, I don't want any of that. Shut it out. But recently that has changed, and there's been this feeling of, no, I can carefully tread through territory that I've been frightened of before. And I'm sort of coming out of hiding, and I'm doing it by being a gentle giant. And then right at the end of the dream, the reason you see the dead dogs and it's scary and it does wake you up is I get the feeling there that it's showing you when something's dead in a dream, it's something that has come to an end in your life.
Right.
Right. So to me, all those dead dogs were you had finished the journey. It was friendly. You have found a new approach. And it was like recognizing at that stage that, okay, These are older approaches, maybe older dogs, maybe older ways of protecting myself that have now gone.
Right.
They're dead. This is the twist in the tale, is that you don't need to be as protective anymore. You don't need to bark so loud, kind of thing, to pick that metaphor.
Yes.
You can actually tread gently and quietly. And because those dead dogs were found every 20 to 30 meters or maybe less, then you may have that feeling that between age 20 and 30, there were times when you kind of lay down and died because you didn't quite know how to handle not feeling safe. Does any of this make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I'm picturing some recent conflict with a sibling, and I do go into protection mode when they say certain things, and I get, you know, I get my back up and stuff, and I've been analysing it recently, because this dream I probably had last week, or I don't know, a week or two ago. I've just seen some of my family recently, and all these things kind of come up. So it's interesting timing. I don't know whether it would have been the 24 to 48 hours previous that I saw them, but I've definitely been kind of analysing my reaction and, you know, the things that they say with my friends and my partner. Some of that analysis would have definitely occurred in that time frame.
Yes, and that will be what the dream will be processing, because it, at the time when you're going through it, even though, as you say, this time with your siblings, you were taking a bit of a step back and kind of watching it at the same time, the major analysis went on later. So the talking with your partner and talking with friends and analysing it yourself is what has made the shift begin to happen, and then your dreams are processing that talking and that shifting, and then presenting it as, you know, the changed ending in the dream. So that will be absolutely spot on with what's happening there. How do you relate that to the siblings and handling siblings? how do you relate that to deserted or hiding or?
Well, it's interesting. It relates very well. In that a lot of the conflict that I have with my family is kind of ideological. They're very conservative and religious.
Yeah.
And I have kind of broken away from that, but I'm the only one that has, and it has happened in the last 10 years, between age 20 and 30. So I wonder whether that's all the answers to all of those things.
Perfect, absolutely perfect. Your dead dogs are from the age 20 to 30, the last 10 years. So, yeah, well, that makes a lot of sense, Alison. So breaking away from
But there was never a point in my childhood, because when you asked me about that deserted town, and I kind of thought, well, no, I never ever felt deserted in my childhood. I never felt I was on my own. But it's probably, yeah, in the last 10 years or so that I've kind of branched out and made the move away from that upbringing that I had, and I'm very much alone in my family. Like, clearly I have a lot of very like-minded friends and other family, but from my parents and my siblings, I'm the only one.
Oh, that makes so much sense, because so the deserted wasn't actually during your childhood, although you might explore later and think, and I don't think this is true, but it's always worth asking all the questions. You might think, looking back and knowing what about the choices that you've made for yourself today, would you feel that in childhood that even though your parents were giving you all the love and everything according to their ideology and their religion, did you actually feel deserted in comparison to maybe what your friends were doing at school or something like that? So that could be one.
Oh, absolutely, because I couldn't be a part of a lot of those, you know, social things.
All right.
In high school. So, yeah, absolutely.
So there was that aspect that even though you may have recognised then that they were doing the best that they could, that there was in your dreams a processing, a feeling of maybe feeling deserted then, in relation to. But as you say, more specifically, it's more about your own feelings of having not so much deserted the family, but of you've gone your own way and they have kind of deserted by not perhaps embracing where you've gone and understanding it. I love, if we now revisit that feeling that the town is ancient and medieval, it's people always have this feeling, and I know you didn't have this, but they always have this feeling that if you go to, say, a place and it's genuinely medieval, like not like yours, Alison, where there were modern shops, but like it's really medieval and kind of look down, hey, I'm wearing medieval costume here as well. They think they've gone back into a past life. Maybe they have, maybe they haven't. That's like a whole other area for exploration. But, the number one thing with dreams is to look at the symbolism. And I always find that when you look at something in a dream that's perceived as really, really ancient or medieval, it's usually as ancient as however long you've been alive, because we judge our own antiquity in a dream by how long we've been alive. So like really ancient is around about when I was a baby. And medieval is like, what's medieval is kind of middle ages, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that may be sometime between you being born and where you are now, which would put you at about 15. So the medieval time could be those kind of middle medieval teenage years where you may or may not have felt it most. Or is there a particular religion? Has that got a medieval, ancient kind of overtone? Is that how you see their religion?
It's a very conservative Christian thing. So I guess in some ways there's a bit of that nostalgia for for a time less corrupt than today, I suppose. if you kind of think of it that way. But it does, obviously it's all biblical and all of that, but
so there could be elements of that in the town as well, that feeling of maybe going back through as you say, they're kind of maybe idealistic, a bit pre-corruption, forgetting that all sorts of things were corrupt in ancient and medieval times as well. But that feeling of picking your way through that. And the shop fronts, did you have any idea what the shops were selling or what kind of shops were there?
No, it was just kind of, the kind of shop front that has a bit of a, perhaps an arcade down down in between or something, and they just have these funny angles if they're coming off the street. You know, they're not necessarily, they weren't at right angles. This arcade thing wasn't at right angles, and you know, it was kind of on a funny angle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a bit sloped, and this is what kind of I thought, well, it's clearly not any other type of building. It's just that typical shopfront thing where you'd have a couple of stairs into the shop, and then the arcade would slope up to that floor level, I suppose, that goes back. And on that angle, and so I don't know what the shops are selling by any means, but it's quite a vivid picture of what they look like.
No, I love that.
Those big glass front, you know.
Yeah. It's because I was thinking that's really interesting, Alison, because when you're talking about the German Shepherd, you said like he looks impressive, and I'm thinking the looks, you know, what we put in the shop window, what the image is in a way. So, you know, at the end of that, there's that feeling of, I'm getting through this. I'm much gentler than I look. You know, I'm bringing out this other quality, this real and beautiful quality beyond what you may think when you see me, you know.
Right.
So that's why I was wondering about the shop fronts there. But what I love was the way you described them at funny angles, because when we talk about a dream, because you're talking about and describing the symbols which your unconscious mind chose when it did the dream, we often use further words in describing the dream that help to elucidate the symbols as well. So the moment you said funny angles, I thought, oh, Alison, that's absolutely beautiful, because what you've really described is, you know, the funny angles that your mum and dad had in their religion.
All right.
Oh, that's a funny angle. Or maybe they, you know, what I'm saying is it's a kind of the different perspectives. You know, when we talk about different perspectives on things, we are different angles on things, different funny angles. Different ways of looking at things.
Well, and that's what I've been trying to do, you know, with this conflict, is just kind of trying to look at all the angles that my, you know, sibling could be coming from, at the why they're saying these things to me that aren't religious related whatsoever. They're just funny things, and I kind of don't know whether to take offence. I don't know whether it's said I don't know whether it's just a matter of because you're family, you can be a bit more blunt, or whether they actually have a problem with me. I'm trying to kind of figure out all the possibilities of where that's coming from.
Yeah, is it?
And then for me as well, I'm kind of thinking, well, why do I react so strongly to this? I try to keep my mouth shut and not get into arguments, but I just, it really bothers me, and I just don't know whether I'm overreacting or whether I should just go, oh, chill out, it's just your brother or sister or whatever, and you know, you're just a bit more blunt when it's family or something.
I understand. So it's almost like it, you know, in some of those questions you're asking, are my siblings, is it real or is it all front? Is it like shop front? Are they German shepherds or are they gentle German shepherds? You know, to use your dog back to them as well. Arcade. Something's telling me arcade is a pun on something. Arcadia. What's Arcadia? That doesn't mean anything.
No.
Maybe I'm thinking arcane, which is kind of like old. Old religions or something. No, that makes a lot of sense. And what you were saying there with, you know, there are times when you've just said to yourself, I'll just keep your mouth closed. It's not worth having an argument about. No, I mean, that could be another spin on the dead dogs there too.
Right.
Like not barking.
Right.
You know, the dead dogs, and because the same as I said to you earlier, because they're dead, it's like something that's finished in the dream. But it's like maybe those are all the times that you didn't bark, you just kept your mouth closed. I think, you know, that I'm going to definitely help you with this and find a way to answer those questions. But I think it's important. I mean, I think to think, oh, do I just keep my mouth closed and not say, yeah, you know, that can be a solution if you understand the situation more. But, you know, I think we all, first of all, search for clarity and understanding and then decide on the action. You know, is the action then, okay, I'm not going to say anymore. But to keep your mouth closed and still be left with this question, but what is it? You know, I just need to understand this more. I think that does deserve, you know, exploration. And I feel that's what you're doing in the dream when you say, look, I'm treading carefully. I'm looking all around me. I'm aware of the shops and the different angles. You know, you are actually, your dream shows you actually wanting to explore all that and sort it out, you know, which is really good. So my feeling would be from that, in order to understand your siblings, I'm just looking for that clue in the dream there. Yeah. Usually what we do with dream alchemy is that if there's an aspect of the dream that suggests that, oh, there's something unresolved or something needs to shift or something needs to change, then we add a dream alchemy practice, which is a way of using, it's usually a visualization. It can be artwork, it can be body work, it can be an affirmation, it can be all kinds of things. But it's a way of working with at least one or two of the symbols from your dream to basically reprogram your some of your unconscious beliefs or further shift your view in order to accelerate your clarity and understanding and create changes. Now, Alison, you've already done a lot of, your dream shows a lot of that shifting already taking place. So what we would then do is find a dream alchemy practice around some of those symbols to help you accelerate the good stuff that you're already doing. Right. And in that acceleration, that we would then expect you to just go about the next 2 or 3 weeks and suddenly receive greater and greater clarity on where your siblings are coming from so that you can then be more confident with how you deal with it.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that there's a clue there with a gentle German shepherd dog.
Mm.
And what I'd like to do is think that, I mean, because you really felt that dream would have been great if you just walked through with a gentle German shepherd dog. What spooked you was seeing the dead dogs, wasn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they were really, like, vivid. Like, they had flies buzzing around them and blood and stuff. But they almost looked like they had been, like brutally killed.
Mm. Yeah.
And just left there.
And just left there. They, that's what I was thinking. They were dead, but they weren't dead and buried. Because they had the flies buzzing around them still.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's that feeling that if without thinking through this at all, with just a very quick response, if those dead dogs could speak, what do you think they would say?
I don't know. The feeling I got was, don't go this way. It's not going to work for you.
Mm.
You need to find another way because this is dangerous.
Mm.
But I don't know that they would say that, but that's the feeling I had.
Mm. Don't go this way. This way is dangerous. So if we said that those dogs had represented not saying anything, just keeping your mouth closed, there's that feeling that maybe that's kind of, your feeling is maybe that's not the way to go. Maybe that feels brutal. You know, it may kill things off, and as it has done in the last, you know, 10 years from age 20 to 30, those are the times when you didn't speak up and you maybe did keep your mouth closed, and maybe that worked to an extent for you, but what it didn't do was bury. It dealt with stuff, but it's still bothering you. It's not dead and buried.
Mm. Well, it's certainly, I suppose, out of respect for my parents that I don't speak up about anything conflictual. But I think for my siblings, maybe it's respect as well. I just respect that they have their own view and that they probably won't really understand mine.
Mm.
They haven't when I've tried to explain things before.
Yeah.
So I guess I've decided, well, there's no point getting into an argument. I guess.
That makes a lot of sense. Would you say that now that you're sort of actually summarizing that to me and, you know, and it's making more and more sense to you, would you say that there's still a feeling now you look at it that you maybe are ready to bury some of that, that there's, it's still actually not quite buried? It's like you've got to this point of thinking, well, out of respect to them, I've just let them go their own way. And I understand that out of respect for me, they may or may not let me go my own way, but let's just, okay, now after all this, especially after this 10 years, perhaps now I'm ready to really bury this and let it go rather than just it's dead. Let's really bury it. Would you say that that is a new kind of thought for you?
Well, possibly. I guess it's a gradual process, you know, and I guess there's part of me that still hangs on to all those things that you're taught throughout your whole childhood.
Mm.
And I guess been quite reluctant to reject everything.
Mm.
Because there's some great things, great aspects of it, but of the way that I was brought up. But I don't know where I'm going with that.
Whether you feel that it's time to dead and bury, not the whole religion thing, Alison, but just that feeling of, look, I've done everything I can, and I'm ready to really just completely let it go now.
Yeah, well, I'm certainly not as paranoid about things as I used to be. Like any little thing that I would do that I know is a no-no for them.
Mm-hmm.
I would be very careful about hiding. And I guess I've relaxed quite a bit over the last, 4 years perhaps, about some of those things. I don't worry so much about them.
Your dream certainly shows that because, you know, all the hiding in that town is the parts of yourself that might otherwise have gone into hiding, as you say.
Right.
Hidden my real thoughts on what I actually do, what they really shouldn't know about me. But now in the dream, you're picking your way through and going, no, not carefully. No, I'm ready to, you know, actually live my life. In the dream, you're still being careful and looking around you, but I am actually kind of like ready to stand up and live my life in the way that I've chosen to do. And I'm feeling okay about that.
Mm.
What I'm thinking is that there is a need at the end of the dream to bury the dogs, because whatever they represent, and I think we've got it nuttied out, but whatever they represent, they're clearly going off. They need to be buried.
Yeah.
All right, so we need to get that, whatever they represent, really dead and buried. And, of course, the beauty of burying something, if you go with a metaphor, is so we're not talking cremation, we're talking burying. You put the dead dogs in the soil and you tend the soil, and you cover them. And then what happens to the soil? Usually in a burial. What do you do next in the burial patch?
As in filling it in.
Yeah, you fill it in, and then what do you do? Imagine walking through a graveyard. And apart from stones, what do you see usually? What do people do?
Well, I guess it grows over.
Yeah.
And whether that just be grass or whether they put something on it.
Or they put something on it, that's right, yeah. So something grows, when something dies, if it's properly dead, if it's properly buried and properly given its respect, you know, because I'm thinking about you talking about issues of respect there as well. If you respect something by burying it and you give it respect, something grows from it. So it might just be the grass grows back, which is wonderful enough, or it might be that you plant whatever, roses, something, a tree. But something new grows in place of the old, and it's not the same. It's something, things have shifted and moved, and something beautiful grows in its place.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking if we did something like get you to visualize, we just go straight in the middle of the dream and we get you to visualize walking through the medieval town with this beautiful German shepherd dog. But as you do, we get the shop fronts to open and the town actually to sort of come to life and people to come out of hiding. And just to feel really good, because there's no feeling of protection. It's just like, yeah, this is me, gentle, big, beautiful. And then to walk through the town past the friendly people and notice that you have already buried the dogs, and that in their place is this beautiful, and then you pick, is it a tree? Is it roses? Is it flowers? What would feel good to you?
Well, I can kind of see flowers along this road out of town, you know. Because it was a very beautiful, it's very picturesque, and just this winding path along the along a bit of a ridge of a hill or something.
That's really beautiful. So that,
and it just really lent itself to being really beautiful, and you know, have flowers and whatever.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And all wrong.
But because you had the ridge there, you had another perspective, another view. You could see, if you stand on a ridge, you get another view as well.
Yeah.
So you had flowers till it went all wrong. So let's introduce a different type of flower. Like, you walk along the flowery road and suddenly, oh, here's where I buried the dogs. Look at the beautiful something flowering. So if you could pick a flower, or if you're not good at flowers, just a color of flower that for you at the moment would just gives you a feel good sense of moving towards an expression of who you are, yourself, your individuality. What color or flower would you pick for that?
I'm trying to think of flowers. I know lots of flowers, but I just don't know what would, I don't know. I can just kind of picture daisies on the road or something.
Daisies are lovely. And what color primarily?
Yellow springs to mind. I'm not too sure why.
No, yellow's great, because it was exactly what I had in my mind too. And it's got, you know, yellow for all sorts of reasons, many of which will be personal to you because you've chosen that. But also the sun comes up and it's yellow, so it's like a brand new day, sunshiny, light. You know, it's a lovely color. So what we're doing this visualization is that we are, your unconscious mind picked the symbol of dead, decaying dogs for what is dead and is over, but really needs to have the respect of being buried, and for a sense of being able to leave it behind because something new is growing in its place. So what we're doing is taking the gentle giant thing through in this visualization. So as I don't have to be as protective as I felt I had to be in the past, I can actually just be gentle giant and enjoy this. We're going to get everybody to come out of hiding in the visualization, because it's like, I don't need to hide anything anymore. This is me, like it or lump it. You know, this is me. This is, you know, I equally respect where all you are coming from, but this is where I'm coming from, and I don't need to hide that anymore. This is my energy, gentle German shepherd. It's all beautiful. And look, everything's coming up, daisies and wonderful. And there is no twist in the tail anymore. There is no feeling, because it may be that in the past you may have kind of reached this point before, and then it's like, every time I get to this point, it's like, no, there it is. It's not dead and buried. It comes up again. So what we're doing by having the feeling that the dogs have been buried long ago and already there's beautiful yellow daisies coming up is that feeling of, yeah, look, that's that old way of hiding, that's dead and buried. Respect is due left, right and center, and I'm moving on now, and, you know, life is coming up, yellow daisies. Do you kind of sense where we're coming from?
Yeah, absolutely.
And does that, if I took you through a visualization like that, is there any part of that that doesn't feel quite right that you want to tweak, or does it feel okay?
No, it feels good. Yeah.
Okay. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you to close your eyes and I'm going to go through it. And then when you, we're recording this earlier in the week, and this one, I know everyone's listening in about this. This is the procedures of making the podcast. This will actually go out on Friday morning. And although you remember doing this with me, when you listen to this again on Friday morning, Alison, you'll be able to, you know, refresh yourself on the visualization so you can repeat it. But just for now, just close your eyes.
Yeah.
So here you are walking through this ancient, medieval, beautiful town with this absolutely gorgeous, gentle giant of a German shepherd, and you actually feel really, really good. And although you've been a little bit careful and looking here or there, you suddenly stand really tall, because there's no need to be careful anymore. This is a really safe and beautiful place, and people are coming out of hiding and the shop fronts are coming up, and it really feels quite like a festival. It feels really good. But you walk on through and you see all the daisies and all the flowers growing along the side of the road, and you're walking along the ridge and there's the most magnificent picturesque view, and your heart just feels so open and so good. This feels so wonderful. And suddenly you notice, oh, look, there's where long, long ago I buried all those dogs. And look at the beautiful yellow daisies that are just growing. And right in front of your eyes, they're opening and growing. And you can even smell them. They're so beautiful. And you can also feel that warm yellow sun on your skin. And it just all feels so good to be just you. Did that feel good?
It does.
Good. So what you do with that, actually, most of the work was just done in what we did there, and it is that simple. But it would be really great if you could do that about 20 times a day for a couple of weeks. Now, when you've practiced doing it, it will actually, two or three goes of doing that, you'll actually be able to go, you know, almost bring it up in a few seconds. And yeah. You don't have to do, oh, I do one now and, oh, I must set my clock and do another one. I've got to do 20 of these a day. You can actually go bang, 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 like repeat it 10 times in one go. And then later on, do another 10 or whatever.
Right.
But do it, because it's such a recent dream. It was only last week. Do it 20 times a day, thereabouts, for a couple of weeks. And then just twice a day, first thing in the morning and last thing at night for about another 3 or 4 weeks. And it's just, absolutely programming anything in you that may have previously felt that things still needed to be actually buried. They were dead, but not buried. It's changing that around, and it's giving you the impetus for, yeah, things are already growing from the old. The new is already blossoming and beginning. And you will begin to notice around you that happening. You may even see yellow daisies, but you will actually notice, oh, there's a sense that I feel more confident about myself. I have a greater understanding of respect all round on all sides. And I absolutely just feel and know right to my feet walking along the path that I have every right to make my own choices. And I feel really good about the choices that I've made. And you'll notice symbols and signs and feelings about that just increasing around you, and an increasing sense of peace.
How interesting.
It is, and I hope we helped you a lot with that.
Yeah, no, it sounds really good.
Positive. Yeah, that's good. Every dream is positive because, you know, you already had the energy. Your dream already picked up the shifts and changes. You were going in a positive direction, and we've accelerated that, and that's great, you know. But even dreams which actually catch you before that stage, you know, catch us all when it's picking up what some people might say negative, but other people might say, oh, it's picking up experiences and memories that are causing you to act in ways that aren't ultimately best for you. Then, you know, the positive thing about interpreting those dreams is noticing that and going, oh God, we're going to change this right now. Mm. And then applying the dream alchemy and making the change, you know?
Mm.
So, you know, thanks so much for sharing your dream, because hopefully it's not only helped you, Alison, but, you know, it's given a lot of clues for people listening in. And let us know as how you go and what changes you notice. And, you know, either just let me know privately, because I always like to know, or let me know if there's any bits that I can share with our audience so they get to know, oh, what happened to Alison and the yellow daisies?
Yeah, no, thank you very much.
It was a pleasure. Thanks for being on the show. And I wonder, as you listen to Alison's dream there, whether the symbol of things that are maybe dead but not buried was meaningful for you at all. Is there anything in your life that you think, yeah, you know, there's things that I think that I've finished or that have ended, and every now and then, just when I think it's all over, there they are, dead dogs with flies buzzing around or whatever. We've all got a little something like that, and you might just have some lovely clues there from the visualization, some ideas, the Dream Alchemy visualization, some ideas about how to truly bury what may be dead in your life but really needs to be dead and buried so that you can move on. So it's important to let go of things sometimes in order for new things to begin. While we're still living, consciously or unconsciously with things that are kind of finished, but not yet completely finished and put away, what we're doing is attracting the buzzing flies rather than enabling the flowers and the new stuff to grow. So if there's times in your life when you either just think, here it is again, just when I thought it was all over, or when you think, a bit too many buzzing flies around the place, I could do with a bit more new life and vitality, just have a little ponder and think, is there something that is over, but I haven't yet really not only let it go, but really buried it and really planted something new in its place? And you can probably follow that through and do that yourself. And or you may want to book an appointment with me and look at a dream and see how we can get you to that place too of letting go of the old, moving on with the new, not only moving on with the new, but blossoming and growing in wonderful ways. So thank you for listening to another episode of The Dream Show. If you'd like to be on the show as a guest and have a dream interpreted and get the benefits that Alison did, please contact me by email. And if you'd like to go deeper than that and have the benefits of complete confidentiality, then of course go to my website and contact me at dream.net.au to have a private consultation. Have a wonderful week, and I'll speak to you next week when we bring you another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
If you've had a dream you'd like interpreted on this program, send your email to thedreamshow@lifestylepodnetwork.com. You can also follow Jane on Twitter at twitter.com/dreamsight. The Dream Show is a production of Dreamsight Corporation for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one at lifestylepodnetwork.com.